I have 12 minutes to give my address. 1615 South Glendale Avenue, Glendale, California. I did it in 12 minutes. I can do it. I want you to go to Deuteronomy, chapter 8. Moses is giving his last speech. I'm glad this is not my last speech. But what he has to say, I want to leave with you today for this church and for each of us as individuals. They have just gone through almost 40 years of travail in the wilderness. God had led them out of Egypt, delivered them from bondage, and now, after 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, they are at the doorway of the promised land. And Moses says to them, "Thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee." Now, everybody would like to be humble. I don't know anybody in the world, if we were to ask them, would they like to have that virtue attached to them, that would not say, "Yeah, I'd like to be viewed as humble." Any of you like people that aren't? Kind of hard. You know how you get humble? That's the goal. The process, to be humiliated. Nobody likes the process. At least of all me. I'm not preaching to you as though I've arrived. "Thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee." God leading them to humble them. He's going to, if we make it, sometimes all we want to do is just squeak into heaven. But for a moment, we ought to think of God's perspective. If He exists, and I believe He does, and if there is a heaven, I believe there is. I don't think it's one of those floaty places out there where you sit on clouds and play harps. I don't like harps that much anyway. And I'm not that impressed with golden streets, because if you've got that much gold you can walk around on, it's not worth much. I'm enough of a collector to know that. But I think heaven is very real, and a place that will maximize all that God intended us to be. And if that heaven exists, we want to squeak in there. Look at it from God's viewpoint. He does have a choice. And the ones He takes in are the ones He's going to spend eternity with. So I would think if I were He and had the capacity to do it, I'd probably want to humble a few of you before I got you there too. And that's what this is saying. "Thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years to humble thee and to prove thee." The literal has it, to bring forth in thee what's really there. And then if you go on to the 16th verse, "to do thee good at thy latter end." I was elected and I got a race now. I got 8 minutes. 25 or 20 years ago, 105 members accepted the terms that I had written down and unanimously elected me pastor. I'm going to do some remembering as much as I can in the 8 minutes that's left. I didn't even know what I was getting into. I just wrote terms so tough that I knew I could live with my conscience for saying no because I said it in a nice way. I wrote terms no one would accept, and demanded a unanimous vote, and went back to San Francisco sure that I was out. Until Tuesday night when I got a phone call the last Tuesday in October 1975 saying, "Hello, Pastor." Then I knew I was it. And I came to see if the mess was as bad as I thought it was, and it was 10 times worse. There had been no records in the church kept since May, and that was October. They owed $3.4 million to 518 families, 30-day notes. 1.5 million had called their notes, and they had 19,000 cash to pay it. And on top of that, when I arrived, nobody told me there was a mortgage due on the church, and if you're in the truck, get that fountain of faith ready. Nobody told me there's a mortgage due on the church with a balloon payment of $90,000 until I got a call from a... Well, this is me, so I'll say it the way I want to say it, a hard-ass smart aleck in Chicago who got on the phone and demanded to talk to the pastor, and that was me. And when he came on the phone, he said, "You get this $90,000 to me by next weekend or I'm padlocking that church." I said, "Excuse me?" "You better be prepared to lose your arms right about the armpit while you're connecting that padlock, because I know enough about California real estate law to know there's no way he could move that fast." And I began to research it and found that there was a balloon payment, was secured, and the church was about to be lost. I then discovered they had let the studio, which was the only way they could broadcast, go, and was in a... within 15 days of losing it, because of a crazy sale of $1 million worth of stuff to pay $65,000 worth of interest. And then I discovered that they had put an option on the station in San Francisco, had sold the Fresno station, were offering and almost selling the station here in Los Angeles. And I was told they had sold the station in Hartford to Pat Robinson. I subsequently found out they hadn't. They had just made a deal that was long ways from consummating, and Pat was taking over, and we were getting the bills, and he was getting everything else. It was a nightmare. And the congregation was beaten down, and when I preached, there were more red seats than people in front of me. And I could have sung gloom, despair, and agony on me. I came to town, said, "Thy word is forever settled in heaven." Talked to a people that had faith on their masthead. Said, "You know what the word is? Faith is not something that you cram into the corner of your brain and just think about. Pisteo is the word in the Greek. It's an action. The ABC, you know it. Come on. It's an action based upon belief, sustained by confidence that what you believe is so true you can hang your body on it to the end. And the faith that the church is supposed to stand for is that God, when He says something or gives a promise, if you'll hang your body on it in action, believing that because God said it, forever it's settled, and you keep doing it until, if necessary, you die with a fingernail grip on that promise of God, you have faith that saves. I said, "God said in His word, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." There is no way, if we start acting in faith, that this church can go down. I'm remembering all the way the Lord has led us. I went before the congregation, and I need to know if they have the fountain of faith up out there ready to go. Somebody back at the soundboard with an earphone, tell me. Okay, I'll call for it when I want it. I don't pray in public. Jesus said, when you pray, go to your closet and shut the door and pray to your Father in secret. I don't have much faith in these praying mantises that are like the Pharisees praying on a street corner to be seen of men. And I can't think of a street corner more prominent to show off your prayers than a television camera on you. So I always get people saying, "Why don't you pray more? You're a preacher." Because I believe what Jesus said. Do it in secret. I'm not really concerned about what other Christians think of my spiritual image. But I did in private seek the Lord. I think He gave me an inspiration. I was taken to where the same people that Moses was talking to went over the river. And as they went over Jordan's river, God had them take 12 stones out of the bottom of the river and build a simple monument. Now, He had promised them that whole land. Centuries earlier, Abraham had walked the land, and God had said, wherever your feet touch, that'll be your descendants' land. Now, God promised them the whole land. But they just came across the river, and they hadn't taken a square inch, and right in front of them was one of the most threatening cities they would face. God would later collapse it, Jericho, but at that point they didn't know it. And before they took a square inch of the land, they were to take these stones and build a monument. And they were to, in later years, bring their kids back and say to their kids, after faith became fact, after their action based upon the belief that God had promised the land to them, and their confident hanging on to that, and taking and occupying the land, when it became fact, they would bring their kids back and say, look at these stones. Before we ever took a square inch of this territory, because we believed God would back us, give it to us, and promised it to us, we built this monument to faith. Now, faith's not fact. Faith is the substance or title deed of things hoped for. It pragmatizes what's not yet seen. They built this monument so they could go back and point to their kids and say, before it was ever fact, we hung our body first on this symbol, and then in action, we dared to believe God would keep His promise, and now that the land is ours, years later, take my kids back and say, this is what faith is. Daring to believe, before it's a fact, that God will do what He says He'll do. I went before the congregation. And I said, everybody has written Ichabod over this church. This church founded the first religious broadcasting television station in the world, not Pat Robinson. This church had the first 24-hour day radio station, all religious, in America. This church pioneered religious broadcasting. It was 28 years old when I was elected. Now 48 years old, approaching its 50th anniversary. This is just one of our sanctuaries. And I said to the congregation, everybody has written us off. I got to find shattered, like Humpty Dumpty, shattered pieces of this network and try to draw it back. But I want us to declare our faith today. And in the Old Testament, the tabernacle that was built by Moses portrayed man separated from God outside a fenced-in area, outside a tent that was inside that fenced-in area. You got through one door, past sacrifices and offerings, and through a veil, and to the Holy of Holies where God's presence once a year would come down. All of that typified the movement of man away from God into God's presence. And every color of that tabernacle symbolizes things. The purple, His kingship. The white, His purity. The red, the suffering servant. The silver, redemption. The brass, judgment. All of those colors symbolize the work that Christ is doing to redeem the world and the work of God to bring man back from his fallen state. So I said, I'm going to build a fountain. And that fountain is going to have all the colors of the tabernacle in it, starting with the purple of His kingship at the base. And then there'll be a globe. And piercing the globe, radio and television tower with a flame at the top, burning fire, a symbol of the Holy Spirit, which empowers the work of the church. And this globe is going to have on it the maps of the world. And this television tower piercing the globe will symbolize that we will, through broadcast, radio, and television, be covering the globe with His Word, which I symbolize with 360 spigots around that globe that pray water up with colored lights of all the colors of the tabernacle until the whole globe with darkened black masses of land is covered with this spray of this fountain to symbolize. And in our darkest hour, when we were disintegrating, and I was just fresh there as a pastor, and this nut from Chicago was going to seize the property, I went before the congregation and said, we're going to declare our faith like those Israelites did in this our darkest hour, that if we believe God and act on His Word, we will still. Now then we were on television and radio in Los Angeles, television in San Francisco, television in Hartford, and losing it all. This fountain is going to be our declaration of faith. We are going to declare to the world that God will honor our faith as we act on His promises, and we will still cover the whole world with the water of His Word to cleanse it by television and radio. Looked like a nut. As I said, we'll build this monument. And I said, you're going to express faith with me because I'm going to have, I started with 180, or no, 120. And the response was so great it went to 360. I said, you're going to join me in it. And the only way I know to test the reality of your commitment is hit your pocketbook. So first 120 and it grew to 360. Of you are going to give $1,000 in 30 days to make this testimony as we pull ourselves out of this and pay this jerk off in Chicago. I made a pun, but it's a pretty good one. I'm still alive, once you know that. Fundamentalists wouldn't know. When I started counting, I had to stop the people from standing. And that fountain was built. Let me see it. Put it on the screen. That's that fountain. Now, that was built in our darkest hour. That was built in our darkest hour. Put it back on. I want you to notice this crown right here that's ascending on the top of the fountain. I left it off here because I wanted to add it later. That crown is Greek letters, capital letters that spell out Basileos, Basileon, which translates King of Kings. The word in the book of Revelation where one day He will come from beyond history to set everything right and will come as King of Kings. And our declaration was we will be broadcasting to the whole world, covering it with the water of His Word until He descends to rule as King of Kings, Lord of Lords. I left that off because this past year, I almost wished that the crown wasn't there. Because that means we've got to keep going. I mean, we covered the world. But I wanted to duck out a few times this last year. Now, I haven't time. I've already passed. I could go through the times that forces of evil have tried to silence us. Many of you here will remember when on grounds of principle, rather than reveal your names and addresses to a corrupt government probe that later fell in defeat, but at the time, rather than reveal your names and addresses, we took our stand. And we went off television locally, and they pulled the plug at midnight, and every news media in town did a special on the last hour of Gene Scott. The hour is still going on. It's an awful long hour. I remember I remember that night when the plug was pulled and all we had was a radio voice. In an hour and a half, we raised $10 million to say to the world, we'll be back. And less than 2.5 years, I sat in the same chair at the same studio, looked at the same camera, and said, I'm still here, you sons of Belial, you. I haven't got time for you to stand. Hold it. I remember when the Attorney General of California set out to take possession of the churches in California under a charitable trust law that would work in England, but we have a revolution, or had one here, and a constitution. And they sent a subpoena to this church, give them the name and address of every member, what they gave, every time they gave it, and what it was spent for, every time it was spent for 10 years. I went on television, you remember. Remember all the ways the Lord has led us. I built a scaffold like Haman's scaffold that he would hang Mordecai on because Mordecai would not bow to that low-class bureaucrat. So he built a 66-high scaffold. He'd be just as dead at 7 feet. But a bureaucrat who gets something pushed in his face, he's got to hang you 70 feet so he can show his power. So I built a 66-inch scaffold. Invited all the attorneys general and their lieutenants of California. We should have invited all of them in America, but it was California. Come to TV and debate with me the constitutionality of what you're doing. And if you don't come, I'll have watermelons in your place. They'll do a better job because they won't say anything. And remember that? I had a 600-member, the devil's number, you know, 600-member monkey band. Hit them on the head and they, whop, whop, whop. And I formed Cushu University. Come on, United States, stand up. And gave diplomas to the bureaucratic monkey of the year. What I call the graduated BM award. And I gave him a big diploma that had monkeys crawling up every side and said that they proved that the missing link existed, so I gave him the missing link doctrine. Because Darwin was finally justified that these bureaucrats that tread on the Constitution prove that the missing link existed. And then we had our 600-member monkey band give them a salute for 5 minutes and said that Ahasuerus, Nero, Caligula, Adolf Hitler would all stand with these monkeys to praise them for their treading on religious freedom. And I burned the subpoena of the Attorney General on television and dropped the watermelon with his name on it through the scaffold door, and it broke open on the floor, and all of his innards were spread there. Oh, they hated me. I sued them for $77,777,777.77 so they would get used to God's number for violating our constitutional rights. I was within 4 days with a contempt of court citation of going to jail for not delivering the sacred individual donor records of this church. When Judge Wheel looked over his glasses at the Attorney General present and said, I'm going to rule that Dr. Scott has a cause of action in the violation of his constitutional rights and that of his church, and your motion to dismiss is denied. They turned pale. It only took them 3 days to quit being so dedicated to the abstract people and ask, because it was them under a civil rights case, they couldn't use your tax dollars to defend themselves. It was their money. So they asked if I would drop the civil rights case, then they signed an agreement that there were no reasons, based upon the evidence, no further reasons to investigate Scott or his churches. And I went to China by invitation, and they stole the Worldwide Church of God from the people in the congregation. And I came home and saw what was happening to the churches and led the fight, placing a staff member of my own in Senator Petras' office to pass the Petras bill, that set churches free from government encroachments unless there's some probable cause of a crime. I remember when disaster struck us when we first lost Channel 30 and looking for an outlet, I never would have done it. I was ready to stay in Los Angeles, San Francisco, and Hartford. But I found when we were blacked out, I had to go satellite. I found one transponder sandwiched between the Playboy channel and the porno channel. To get from one to the other, they had to go over me. And I remember we wrote a song I did at that time that Brainwood went out over T's and A's. And we did. I'm never going to ask my congregation how many of you were watching one of those other channels when you went by and stopped with me. We found one channel, 200,000 a month, plus the equipment in addition, for 4 hours. We had only 300,000 a month budget for the church at that time. How could we expand to another 200,000 a month? In faith, we believed God, and we did it. I could go on and on and on. I'm just tickling your memory, strangers, you weren't here through all the pain. Every single time I came to the point, this is the end. Plenty of you fail to recognize what I've preached here for 20 years. Your years are the years of the right hand of the Most High. That if you acknowledge Him in all your ways, you know whether you are or whether you're not, He will direct your paths. That the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. I can't stand these people that give you a paranoia about God's will. God chose you, and then He's not playing hide and seek. You're not here by accident. Whatever made you, turn the light on. And do what a lot of you thought you would never be doing, listening to a message. God's directing your paths. And it's harder to get out of God's will than it is to stay in it if you want to be in it. My problem with God is He's always going left when I think He should go right. And He's always going down when I think I should be going up. And He's never on time. He dwells in eternity. He doesn't wear a watch. He's always coming after I'm giving up on Him. Or He comes and tells me to do something before I'm ready. And everything that happens to me, God's in control, but I wish to hell He'd wear a watch. It's never on time. From my view, I preach a message here, Paul and the ship. When all hope was lost, then the word of the Lord came. Why does He let us wait until all hope is lost? He's proven us. His humbleness. I stand today guilty of thinking God didn't know what was going on more than once this last year. But I think I can say when the chips were down and in the late hours of Saturday nights before I'd stand here hoping I could get a message that would last 6 days, when the chips are down, I have found in my spirit the ability to say, God has never failed me yet. His promise is not that I won't be in valleys, but He'll be with me. If I trust Him in the dark, He who sees through the dark will lead me through it. And that His purposes are to bring forth in me a better ability to trust Him and to bring us to a good at the end. He has a purpose for every one of you, and I don't know what mess you might be in. But as I remember this church's path today, we build a fountain of faith in the lowest hour. We've been knocked out in the eyes of the world more times. Gene Scott's been counted out more times than anybody in this city. And here I am, getting younger, as he says, and going on. Now, I thought that this ministry would end this past year. Now I know it won't. I now know that we're going to go on to our greatest year. But I want to drop a map right now and ask you whether or not, with all the twistings and meanderings, ups and downs, defeats and sorrows, did God honor our faith? The fountain said we'd cover the whole globe with God's Word by radio and television. Drop these maps. Thing's supposed to work, but I can't make it work. But I don't really need to make it work. You know what those red pins are on that map? Our World Band members who are listening right now. There is no square inch of this globe that does not receive this service live. Those white pins right in the middle there that I wish I could shine this light on and show you, right to the left of South America, right to the left in the Gulf of Guinea of Africa, and right south of India are the three satellites. Don't move the camera around. Just give me the whole map like you had it. I can handle this myself. Let the television audience watch the way the congregation here watches. Get back with that scene where you had me and both maps on this television. That's what I want. They can watch it and figure it out. Right in the middle, the white knobs, the cross on Colombia and Gulf of Guinea and Indian Ocean are our satellites worldwide. The yellow knobs represent giant transmitters from Los Angeles to Palau. The largest transmitters ever built in the world, built to jam all West Coast broadcasters. By a miracle, God opened up. We have them 24 hours a day in Novosibirsk, Samara, and Krasnodar. And if you look at the map to my right, that's where the beams are going. Where those beams are going means you can pick up that station wherever those beams are. And look how many crisscross beams are there, which means no spot on this globe that you cannot listen to this service right now and 24 hours a day to at least two, maybe three, sometimes four different frequencies. Did God honor our faith? I'm bringing the kids back. As they did in Israel, I'm bringing the kids back. Now that it's fact. Now that it's fact. And what the fountain said in faith is reality worldwide. I'm still saying what I said when I came here. God will back His Word. What He waits for is someone to grab hold of it and act as though it's true to your dying day. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Those are the promises. The Lord is my shepherd. He leadeth me. This promise says, thou shalt remember all the way the Lord thy God led thee. And the promise I quit on, mistranslated in the King James, to suggest that all things work together for good to them that are the called according to His purpose. No. All things don't work together for good. The drunk that hits you broadside in an intersection, that was not God planning the drunk to smash you. God allows freedom for idiocy and ignorance and sin. Because without freedom, He gets no love and no trust. The correct translation of Romans 8:28, carry it with you in the years ahead. Carry it to the spot where you are confused and suffering right now. The literal is, God enters into all things to work His good to them that are the called according to His purpose. I don't care what your faith. God knows where you are, and God decides somewhere along your life He's going to pull your chain. And like a little brat, you've been free to do whatever you want to do, but He decides to pull your chain. And He just sort of curbs the circumstances, and tracks the path, and He leads you to humble you till you're dependent on Him, to prove what's in your heart till He can deal with it, and to bring you good at your later end. I now know as I start my 21st year, because of 20 years of tracking, that in spite of Gene Scott, and I've been a hard customer for him, God has indeed entered in to every crisis, every problem, every mistake. As I reach back to claim His promise, God enters into all things to work His good to them that are the called according to His purpose. After 20 years and seeing what He's done with this church, with a pastor who didn't even want to be the pastor, I really believe that God can handle things. And we are in good hands. Whatever your problem today, add Him to the dimension of your thought. He enters in to all things, including messes we create, to work His good to them that are the called according to His purposes. And that little key, Mr. Eichler, is we've got to be willing to let Him work His purposes in us with the trust that He has an end in mind that's better for us. I'll leave that with you today. I went over too much, way too much. I'm sorry. But it's anniversary, so I take my privilege. I'm glad you were here today. Forget everything else I said. Don't kill yourself getting to the restroom. But even that, I'm sure God would enter into if you trust Him to work His good. Believe me, He will look out for you. Trust Him. And in the next 20 years, that's still going to be my message. And I would say, God has brought us to a good end. Thank you for being here today. Clock goes that extra 20 minutes that even the spirit-trained kidneys of this congregation cannot last much longer. So be seated, please. There is the church offering that must be taken. Ushers come. The song is I hope you'll be here next Sunday when we return to somewhat normal. But the normal message has remained the same. You can trust God. He will take care of you if you'll trust Him. And He'll enter in to your circumstance, but you've got to act believing that. Now, give us unto the Lord. I'll be talking to you and looking at you all week. The song to close us out, Hold to God's Unchanging Hand.